Today, friends, we again come to you and we are studying together the book of Acts. I sincerely hope that you, friends, are reading over and over again these chapters in Acts, because in the first 12 chapters there is given to us a real revelation of the moving of the Spirit of God in the early church. It's well for us to watch how God moves. He works all things out after the counsel of His own will. And remembering that He is working with frail, frail men and women, full of weaknesses, tests, and trials, and yet He has determined that through these His purpose for the earth will be accomplished. There's no question that the Spirit of God and the people of God work together for this one great task of disseminating the gospel of Christ to their generation. I couldn't help but think of this as we were going back over chapter 5 of how Peter said, you remember, it seemed good. We are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Here you have this wonderful cooperation between the Spirit of God and the people of God. Now that calls for a relationship, a daily, continual relationship with God. That fellowship with God which will cause us to enjoy Him, and then the Spirit of God finds us usable. After all, it's the Spirit of God using the Word of God through the man of God that accomplishes that which He wants accomplished. Now, we've already had in the preceding five chapters of Acts, the first five chapters of Acts, we've had some problems. We've had the gospel going out to the nation Israel, to the people in chapters 2 and 3, to the leaders in chapters 4 and 5. You'll notice that the opposition is beginning to increase in its intensity. First of all, they threatened them, and then they commanded them to keep still, and then they beat them, and in fact, they were ready to kill them. They want to get rid of these folks. In fact, in verse 12, when they were cut to the heart, they took counsel about killing them. If it hadn't been for Gamaliel, one of the leading rabbis, the outstanding rabbi of the day, he said, if these men are of God, you can't stop it. If it's of men, it'll stop of its own volition, of its own momentum. But if they're of God, you can't stop it. But even though he had said that, though they agreed with that, they beat them up. And they went forth from their presence rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name's sake. And every day they were in the temple preaching and teaching the Word of God, exalting the person of our wonderful Savior. Now when we come to chapter 6, we have organization in the early church. In the first 8 verses, we have organization in the early church. Now you'll notice as the need arose, organization was affected. Now we've had, for the most part, in the first 5 chapters, you have external problems. Except for Ananias and Sapphira, the beginning of chapter 5, you have the problems from the outside. Now we're going to have some internal problems. And as the need arose, organization was affected. You see, the early church had its problems too. The same kind of people, men and women just like you and us, you and me. Let me read these first 8 verses. They're not very long. Give you the little picture of it. In those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian, the Hellenistic Jews, against the Palestinian Jews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continue to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now let me just stop here for a few moments. As I said a moment ago, as the need arose, they organized. Now, I'm not against organization. I think sometime today we're over-organized, over-committeeized. We've got so many committees and so many organizations, it's hard to know which is which. But now the reason for the organization is because jealousy and envy had come among God's people. Some were getting ahead of others. You see, you've got two parties. You've got the Palestinian Jews, people of Israel, of the land of Israel, looking down upon these Jews who came from different parts of the Roman Empire. They would call them Hellenistic Jews. And a schism in the early church was caused by these influences. Remember that they were all of one accord, that they had all things common. Men like Barnabas sold what they had, and they brought their goods. And so the church was like a great big family, but you know, it's running into thousands now. Literally thousands upon thousands of people had become Christians. This is what caused the leaders of Israel to say, what in the world are we going to do about this? It's getting beyond us. We've got to do something. If we can cut off Peter and John, the leaders, then we can squelch the movement. But there were these from the outside, that is, I'm speaking of Hellenistic Jews who'd come in. And you know, when you begin to put out things, someone's going to get more than somebody else. And first thing you know, the Palestinian Jews were looking down upon the Hellenistic Jews, and the result was trouble. In fact, the Hellenistic, the Grecian Jews, were the ones that were saying we're being penalized. So Peter says, look here, brethren, it might be a good thing. You look out from among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves, we apostles will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And in verse 5, we read where the whole multitude chose the men, seven men. And when they chose them, they set them before the apostles, and the apostles laid hands on them, and the word of God increased, and so on. Will you please, first of all, notice the congregation chose the men who should serve. Choose you out seven men. The congregation chose the men, and the apostles consecrated the ones chosen by the people. And you will notice, too, that the seven who were chosen were Hellenistic Jews. In other words, they were acceptable to the grieved party. I want you to mark the change now. Notice the beginning of a movement. The movement is moving from the Jews of Jerusalem now to the Jews who came in from the outside, Hellenistic Jews. All these seven men, I take it from their names. These are not Jewish names. These are Hellenistic, Grecian names. Stephen and Philip, Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, proselyte of Antioch. These were Grecian Jews. And there was a threefold qualification. They were to be of honest report. That is, they must have a good testimony to those outside. There must be men of honest report. Real, real men. They must be spirit-filled. And they must be wise. Or, if I like to say, they were men of good report, have a lot of sanctified common sense, and be spirit-filled. And by the way, that should be the normal Christian life. And you'll notice that the seven men chosen were men whom they knew to be men of wisdom. They knew them to be men with a good report, good testimony. They knew to be men who were spirit-filled. And I tell you, my friend, these three things are indispensable today. If they were indispensable in the first century, they're more needful today, that when a church, a local assembly, chooses its officers, It should choose men who have an honest report, who are wise, some sanctified common sense, and spirit-filled. Well, Mr. Mitchell, if you're going to do that, we can't have any in our church. There's very few of them. Well, far rather have a few than to have a big board where you've got all kinds of fellows. I'll be very frank with you. Why do we have so much problem, so much trouble? I can talk to you for an hour on churches that I've been to, where I've been, they're troubled, they've been split. I can think of some churches where they've been split 3 and 4 times. To me, a tragedy that God's people should be split, divided, not over doctrine, not over the person of Christ, but over personalities. And one man wants his way, another man wants his other way. Wants his way, and first, you know, you've got trouble. And so you've got the people caught in a crossfire between different groups in the church. And so you always have trouble, and the Spirit of God can't move. Honest man of honest report, good report, wise, sanctified common sense, spirit-filled. You know, you can have a man on your board who's spirit-filled and have a good report but have no common sense. He doesn't fit into the picture. But I know one thing, if you can get a board of men who are out for God and wise, got a good report, spirit-filled, they want to go on with the Lord, you're going to have no trouble. Wonderful thing. These men get together, take their position before God, those who are responsible for the congregation. If I'm talking to any today, and you're an officer in your church, may God grant you'll not only have a good report to those who are without, you'll not only have good common sense, be full of wisdom, but to be spirit-filled, to be in fellowship with the Savior. And start your meetings, your business meetings, with a heart of worship and of praise to God, and look to the Lord for wisdom, for understanding, for balance, as you discuss together the things of your assembly. Now you have the desire of the apostles. Now remember, the church, the people chose the 7 men, and they knew what kind of men they were, and the disciples, the apostles, sanctified them, set them apart for the job. Now, in verses 2 and 4, you have the great need, the desire of the apostles. It's not reason, said he, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I wonder if I may dare put a word in here for pastors and for teachers and for your leaders. Sometimes a pastor does everything. He even becomes becomes the servant of everyone in the congregation, that's true. But he also becomes the taxi driver for some. And he does a lot of things that he shouldn't be doing, somebody else should be doing. Here's a man trained in the Word of God, with a desire to do God's will, to reach men for Christ, and to feed the flock of God. He doesn't get the time to get down and spend time with the Lord, nor the Word of God. The main business of the church is to give out the word of God, not to serve tables. God's message for man must go forth in the power of the Spirit of God, and a man must be given time to spend time in the word of God, to spend time in fellowship with God. And he stands between you and God as an intercessor for the people of God. And then he feeds on the Word of God and studies the Word of God to feed the people of God, that they in turn might go out and become living testimonies of the grace of God. This is what you have in the early church. It's the desire of the apostles. And I repeat it, the main business of the church, its primary business, is to reach our generation with the Word of God, with God's message concerning his precious Son. Now notice what happened. Verse 7. The result of such a ministry, and the word of God increased, And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. God moved when unity and peace was restored. And I want to say very, very clearly, oftentimes the Word of God has been hindered from reaching people because of the attitude of Christians one toward the other in the assembly. One could say much about this, but I want to press this fact, that God moved when peace was restored, and when the assembly was unified with one great desire to glorify the Savior, God moved, and there was a great ingathering of precious souls. The Word of God increased. The number of disciples were multiplied. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Why? Because the people of God were knitted together in Christ. And God chose these seven men, using the people to choose them. And the people knew these men were qualified. And you see the desire of the apostles. Now just one more thing. What about this man Stephen? He comes on the scene. And they chose Stephen. Will you look at this for a few moments? And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Down to verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power. In verse 10, these enemies of the gospel were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. In verse 15, and they looked upon his face as it had been the face of an angel. Could I just suggest for your thinking for a moment? This is the kind of men the church needs today. Look at it. He was a man of honest report. That is, he had a good testimony, those who were out. He was a man, verse 8, he was full of faith. He was full of faith and full of power. He was a man full of grace. In verse 3 and 5, he was a man filled with the Spirit of God. And we go to chapter 7, at the end of the chapter, verse 55, and Stephen being full of the Holy Spirit, even though he's going to be stoned for his love for the Savior, he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's full of wisdom. He was a courageous man. In verse 51 of chapter 7, he was a courageous man. And you remember, the righteous are as bold as a lion when he accused them of being stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears. You do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did. That's what you do. I took courage, I'll tell you. And as I said again from Proverbs, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Another thing about this man, he was full of the Word of God. You can't read chapter 7 without realizing this man knew his Bible. In fact, he stood and quoted from the book of Exodus right on down through, from the book of Genesis, in fact, and gave their history. And can I say another thing? He was a man of full of trust. He was trusting the Savior. Christ was living in this man, and he died forgiving the ones who were killing him. And might I add, I'm not surprised, the heaven was open to him to receive him. Stoned by people, cast out by people, heaven open to receive him. So can I suggest him again? You just think about it. I just give you an idea about this man, the kind of man we need today. And God is always looking for men, even now, will stand in the gap and plead for his people, plead for his land, plead for his church. He was a man of honest report. He was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. He was a courageous man. He was as bold as a lion. He was full of the Word of God. He was full of trust. That is, he trusted his Savior to work out his own divine plan and purpose in his life. And it ended up at the end of chapter 7. They stoned him. They cast him out. They didn't want him. But heaven was opened up to him, and he saw the Son of God standing on the right hand of God. I tell you, my friend, wouldn't you like an experience like that? Well, I'll tell you very frankly, heaven is always open to his children. And if you're a child of God, your rightful place is in heaven with the Savior. And while you're down here waiting for that time when he will call you home, we're to be business just like Stephen was, bearing testimony to the Savior, whatever the cost may be. And may God grant to you and to me the joy, even today, of bearing testimony for him. And if you are an elder or a deacon in a church, God grant you'll be a man of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom, that you might take your place as a leader among God's people. And this is what God can make you, and this is what God can do for you. Now the Lord bless you today, and won't you enjoy the Savior today? Please walk with him. Make him your confidant, and enjoy him hour by hour, moment by moment.